Well, good morning. So glad that you're here this morning. I want to start with something this morning that's familiar. It should be familiar to most of us. We live in the United States. How does the Pledge of Allegiance start? Where's my little guys at? Oh, they're back there, Miss Debbie. How does it start? I pledge allegiance. Keep going. And which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty, justice for all. Good. They got it. Where did they learn that? School. School. Where did we learn it? School. Even Bible school, Mary says. I like that. But did you realize what you just did? If you say that, I don't know that we truly realize what we're doing, because we just know it as the Pledge of Allegiance, but we don't really think about what it is. We know all the words to it, but I don't know that it resonates with us as to what it is that we're saying. It's probably the first time in school that your mind is stretched, that your horizon is made a little bit bigger, because you are pledging your allegiance to something bigger than you, beyond you, that you don't even comprehend all that comes with that. But we say it like we know it, and man, we're taught to say it like we mean it, right? You stand at attention, put your hand over your heart, and you look at the flag. They know. The kids are doing it now. Y'all can't see them. And there's not even a flag, and they're ready to do it. So we'll come back to that in a minute. But I thought we'd start there, because today, as we have been walking through this letter that Paul writes to Philemon, if you have your Bible, you can turn to the book of Philemon. We have walked through this letter for 4 weeks now. This is the fourth week. And we have seen in verses 4 through 7 that Paul affirms his brother Philemon. He talks about accommodating one another. He talks about accepting one another, verses 12 through 16. And today, we're going to read verses 17 through 21, and we'll see what Paul is asking now. This is the most personal of all of Paul's letters. And so it matters that we talk about this, because it's to a direct person. It's to Philemon. If you have your Bibles and you are ready and willing and able, would you stand for the reading of God's word this morning as we start in Philemon verse 17 and read through 21. If then you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. Father, thank you for your holy and divine word. Father, thank you for even the opportunity to address your word, to look at it and talk about it. Father, we need desperately the help of the Holy Spirit as we encounter the text that is before us. Thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit that interprets for us. Father, thank you for these that are here. Again, may we see exactly what it is that you would have us to see this morning for each individual in this room. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you remember back a couple of weeks ago, Paul, in this writing to Philemon, he says, in no less words, I could tell you what to do. I could lean on my status as an apostle and as someone that led you to Christ, Philemon, I could stand on that ground alone and I could tell you what to do. I could lean on you. I could put pressure on you because of who I am. But he says, I'd rather not do it that way. I could, but I won't, because I'd rather walk with you through this. I'd rather have you be part of the equation. Now let's look at verse 17. If then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. There is a little deviation here, a subtle nuance is what I'd call it, in the wording here. Because remember, he told Philemon, I could tell you what to do, but I want you to do it out of your own compulsion. In verse 17, now he's saying, the wording here lends itself to a friendship. You guys probably understand this. There are things that you ask people to do, that you ask your friends to do, that you wouldn't ask anybody else to do because they're your friends. Because they're your friends, you have a little more liberty with them. The ask can be greater. But let's talk about that word for a moment. Because in the day and age that we live in, friend has so many new, and not all of them good, wrinkles to it. Friend. Remember when you were in school and I was in school and you had a group of friends, then you had that other group of friends, then you had your real close friends, and then maybe even you had a best friend. Does anybody ever say that anymore? You're my best friend. I'm thinking about My Buddy, the commercial. Remember that little doll, that goofy little... The kids don't understand that. I'll go on. That was not a good friend. But do you remember that? Do you remember having friends? And you probably still do. You have a group of friends that you would probably account as acquaintances more so than anything. You just know them. But because of social media, everybody's a friend now, right? Oh, and it hurts whenever friends leave now. They unfriended me. And we get so mad about that. Or they won't friend me. We get mad about that. Why? Because we've taken a word and just taken it and given it a whole new level of meaning. So is Paul asking Philemon to be a follower on Twitter here, students? Did you read that? Did you catch that? Paul didn't say that, really. Is he asking him to be a Facebook friend? Is he asking him to do more because he is a friend? I'll probably get a barrage of BFF text coming my way from all the church people I know. Tony Evans says this. He says, a friend is someone that, when you make a fool of yourself, doesn't think you've done a permanent job. That's a friend. There were three elderly men that were having their morning coffee. And one said, sometimes I find myself standing in front of the refrigerator with a jar of mayonnaise in my hand, and I can't decide if I should put it up or make a sandwich. The other one said, I'm with you. He said, I find myself at the bottom of the steps wondering, was I going up or did I come down and now I'm here? The other one said, well, I'm so glad that I don't have that problem. Oh, that must be the door. I'll get it. You see, only in a circle of friends can you do such things and still be included. Otherwise, people just think you're crazy. Let's look at verse 18. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. You see, this is what we do. Philemon has been asked multiple times to take into account his association not only with Paul as a brother in Christ, but his personal relationship with Christ. And now Paul says, watch this, Philemon. Watch this, because obviously there is a situation that has gone about. And we don't get the full details of it. We don't know what has happened. But Paul says, if Onesimus, the slave, has wronged you in any way, watch what I'm going to do with that. Because I remember the Pledge of Allegiance. You heard it, you said it, you thought about it, but I'm not sure you were ready to actually comprehend it yet, so let's talk about that. I am pledging my allegiance to a nation, and with that pledge comes rights, with that pledge comes boundaries, which are getting to be fewer and fewer these days. But Paul says, watch this in verse 18. He says, my loyalty, my pledge is to a different kingdom. Why? Because look at what I'm willing to do. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Well, is it money? Is it stuff? Did Philemon say bad things to... did Onesimus say bad things to Philemon? I don't know. And we don't know. So it is less critical that we talk about what has happened to get to this point and more that we focus on what Paul is willing to do about it. He says, my allegiance is to a different kingdom. Charge it to my account. When he says the word charge, this is the same word, from the same word that we get reckon or impute. Now, you may not know what that means. Let me help you. As Christ took the weight of our sin and put it to his own account, so Paul is willing to do that for the runaway slave, Onesimus. He says, I am willing to take whatever he has done, whatever it is. He doesn't spell it out. So it's less about what it is that he's done, but more about what he's willing to do about it. He says, I'm willing to take that and put it on my account. Isn't it nice when somebody picks up the tab for you? Doesn't it feel good when someone else takes responsibility for you? When someone else kind of falls on the sword, if you will, for you and sacrifices their own desires and their own wants and even their own will sometimes for the sake of you? Paul says, as Christ has done this for me, as Christ has taken and put all of the weight of my own sin on himself, and I, Paul, am willing to do this for you, brother Philemon, because he says, remember in verse 17, if then you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would me. Because we're brothers, because we're friends, he says, Christ has done this for me. He has laid down his life for me. And I, Paul, would lay down myself, my life for you, Philemon. And I would also do it for the slave Onesimus. Wow. There should be so much freedom in that. Then it doesn't matter what has happened. Doesn't matter what has gone on. Doesn't matter what he's done. Paul is willing to take it all. He doesn't say, take that part of it and charge it to my account. Take that little piece and forgive him because we're friends. Take this and do this. He doesn't separate it all out and ask for particulars. He just says, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Charge it all. I'm willing to take it all. Because that's what Christ has done for me and for you, Philemon. Paul then begins to bring his letter to a close. He says in verse 19, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self as well. Now, it might seem that Paul has an unfair advantage here with Philemon, if you think about it, because he's saying, I'll pay it back, and not to mention that you owe me as well. Philemon, you owe me as well. Now, you could look at that and say, Paul has an unfair advantage. Paul has a leg up in the conversation with his ask. Because he's asking that Philemon receive Onesimus back as more than a brother, not just a slave. He says, I've sent him back to you, and I want you to receive him. But remember where the motivation lies? Paul starts his letter. Remember in verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. A prisoner of Christ. Later in the letter, we see some more phrasing for this. For Christ's sake, would you do this? And I have confidence in Christ that you will do this. Paul continually takes the conversation back to the motivation of living for a different agenda. Living in the realm of a different kingdom. Because my allegiance to you, Philemon, yes, we have an allegiance to each other because we're friends. However, I also have an allegiance to the kingdom. And that's where my motivation goes every time. You've probably seen or heard some people. None of us, though, right? None of us. That would take and say, I really want this to happen, or I really think I need this to happen. And then we do something really dangerous. We say, I really think that God is telling me to do this. It's very slippery. Or you can say, or you probably have heard someone say, because remember, this is none of us, I think this should happen in the name of Jesus. And it might be the most ridiculous thing that you've ever heard. You ever heard anybody like that does that? You don't have to answer that. And stop pointing. I'm just kidding. Nobody's pointing. It's a very slippery slope whenever we start claiming Jesus as a credible partner when our motivation is wrong. Because you can say a whole lot of things and then claim and just put that tag. We do this all the time in songs. It's a little tag. It's just a little piece of the song that we go back to and end with. See, this is how our conversations end up. We have all these great thoughts and all these things that come out of flying out of our mouth, and then we put a tag on the end of it that's supposed to make it all better. In the name of Jesus, I claim this. And it has nothing to do with Scripture. It's okay to claim scriptural truth and claim it in the name of Jesus. I'm all for that. Go for it. And it's okay to be led and motivated and pushed by the Holy Spirit as a believer in Christ to do something greater and push beyond what we think our faith can withstand with the power of the Holy Spirit and the right motivation. Go for it. Do it, church. Go. Be free. Fly far. But when we begin to say things like, in the name of Jesus, I think, be careful. Because here we can look at Paul. He says, I'm writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. This has nothing to do with anything that Philemon owes to Paul as far as stuff. It means, remember we had a conversation one time long ago and you became a believer with me. We became brothers in the Lord. That means something. We should be fighting for the same team. We should be fighting the same battle. We should get our allegiance right. Paul is very straightforward with his ask. He is very straightforward with his motivation. He continues to go back to, because of Christ, for the sake of Christ, I'm a prisoner of Christ. He is very straightforward with his allegiance, first to the kingdom and then to Philemon as a friend. Where else have we seen this in Scripture? Something that is very straightforward. Something that is very clear. Remember in the book of Genesis? In Genesis chapter 2, you find God and Adam. And God gives very clear expectations. He sets a very clear boundary. Chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of knowledge of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." God was very clear with his expectation. He was very clear with his ask. He was very clear with the boundary. And then there was Eve that comes out of Adam, that was taken from Adam, I should say. And she knows the boundaries. And she knows the expectation. And she knows what God has said. But in Genesis 3, Satan comes along and says, "Has God really said that?" And Eve knows, because she's like, "He did say that." We should have picked this up a long time ago. You see, God is very straightforward with his expectation of us. He is very clear with his boundaries for us. He says, "This is what I, God, expect. This is what I, God, will do." He gives us promises that says, "This is what I will do." And these are the boundaries within you, with which you and I get to have all the freedom that we want. You say, "Well, that doesn't make sense. Boundaries and freedom in the same sentence? How does that work?" On a basketball court, you have boundaries. Within the boundaries of that court, you can do whatever it is that you need to do to get that basketball into the goal. And even then, there's rules that come with that. But see how much freedom comes when we understand clearly what our expectations are, what the boundaries are? Paul's ask of Philemon is no different. He says, "I'm going to repay you for the name in Christ's name and for Christ's sake. Let's get this right. As brothers, as friends, as sharers in the word." But you think about the garden account. The deck is stacked fully in God's favor, right? Because God is creator. God has created all that Adam and Eve see. And he gave them an expectation and a boundary. So what does that leave? What does that leave, and where does that leave us with the book of Philemon? There's something that we haven't talked about in this equation, the concept of free will. And with that comes choice. Adam and Eve made a choice. And because of that choice, we are still paying for that today. We have an opportunity to have freedom in Christ through a relationship with Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, for what he did on the cross. Thank goodness we have that. But Paul says, remember, back in verse 14, "I didn't want you to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will." He still believes in that. He's still asking Philemon to do something with this slave, now a brother, Onesimus. He says, verse 20, let's finish. He says, "Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say." He says, "Let me benefit from you." Haven't you been around somebody that is in, or that you believe to be in God's will and in a right standing with God? And how you benefit from that person, how you thrive when you're around that person. He says, "Let me delight in your choices." Don't you, if you're walking along with somebody, if you're walking with, like Paul, he says, "I want to walk with you, Philemon. I want to walk you through this." And you have somebody that you're mentoring, somebody that you're pouring into, and you're walking with them through scriptural ideas and things that really matter and trying to help them, and they make a choice about a decision or about something, and they do something that would please not only God, but it makes you so happy because it's something you've been trying to tell them for about 6 years. Don't you delight in that? Don't you get excited whenever that happens? this person's following Christ. He's following, or she's following, God's word. I couldn't be more thrilled by what you're doing. Paul says, let me delight in you. Let me benefit from you in the Lord. There's that motivation again. We go back to in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. It should be refreshing when people follow God's word. It should be encouraging when people follow God's ways. It should be uplifting when they choose God's preferences. Doesn't God delight also in our obedience in the same way, if not even more? When he allows us to have a choice to make, and we choose to follow God's word, and we choose to follow his ways and his preferences, doesn't he delight? My fear is that so many of us have not given God a good reason to delight in us. Because, we're back to this whole pledge, we don't pledge our allegiance to a different kingdom. We pledge our allegiance to me, to myself, and to I. I pledge allegiance to myself. I pledge allegiance to myself. And we never get this far along in the letter. We don't even have the opportunity to say, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Because our allegiance lies with nothing other than ourselves. And if we can ever get that out of the way, we can begin to pledge our allegiance to kingdom agenda. Things change. Conversations change. But we'd rather just sit and say, I pledge allegiance to me and to my kingdom to which it stands. One person. Indivisible. And I have liberty. And I get justice. See how that works? And this is what it looks like for us. We say, I pledge allegiance to me, and God, if you want to come along and get on board with what I'm doing, go ahead. I'm okay with that. Because I know about God, and I like God whenever he's with me and what I'm doing. But don't ask me to do something I don't want to do, God. Don't challenge me with your word, and don't challenge me with your Holy Spirit to be pushed. I'd rather stay with my allegiance to me, because I'm happy here. And we can be the most miserable people on the face of the planet. Because we should be pledging our allegiance to a different kingdom and pledging our allegiance to our brothers in Christ, to making things right and doing things the right way. Paul's ask is no different. He says, Philemon, let me be refreshed by you. I have confidence that you're going to do even more than what I'm asking. Why? Because I know where your motivation is too. And it's in the Lord. And because of that, things are going to look different. We have another chance this week to do just that. To love on people the way that Christ does to us. To do what Paul has said, I will do for Onesimus. He says, credit that to my account. Let me take that on. Let's do that. Let's get together and put our arms around some people in Jacksboro and say, it doesn't matter what's happened. Doesn't matter what's going on. Just come with me and let me show you. Let me show you who Jesus is. Let's get busy, church. Let's get busy. Father, thank you for another opportunity to look at your word, for another opportunity to see, Father, what it is that we are to be doing. To love in a way that only you can. To show us, Father, that even in difficult things, Father, this was a huge deal in the day and the time that Paul wrote this letter. He said, I'm going to make one of the biggest asks I can ever make of any brother in Christ, that you would take a slave and you would receive him as a brother. Father, help us to have people in our lives that we would be willing to extend ourselves in such a way that we might be refreshed by their obedience. Father, help us to be on the receiving end of that kind of an ask, to say, I know this is what is going to be asked of us. I know this is a huge deal, but I trust and I know and I want to be refreshed by your obedience. Father, help us to be found obedient this week. Help us to put our arms around people this week in Jacksboro and in other places around Jack County and just say, we want to walk with you. We want to show you who Jesus is by the way that we live. Father, give us that desire. Father, if there's a person in this room that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Father, would they be willing to stand up and say, I need to get that right. I don't know Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Father, help them to have boldness this morning. Thank you for this time. We give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we sing? Brother Travis and I will